Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Hello, everybody.
Sorry we disappeared last week. We don't have an excuse.
We were both very busy. I signed on 3 new clients over the past month. So
busy bee.
That's like really exciting. And it's also made me very busy. So we apologize, but we are here. We didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, we're here still, just floating along. Life is pretty much the same. I don't have anything exciting to say, but we're just going to do a good old shoot the shit episode.
Yeah. And Brooke posted on our Instagram a poll or a question. And a lot of you guys submitted responses. So thank you so much for responding. And we're just going to chit chat today, talk about your questions and answers. And just a nice, casual, relaxing episode. Hopefully everybody is enjoying the beginning of spring in whatever part of the world that you're in or whatever season it is for you. In the United States, we have just begun spring, and at least for me in Denver, there will be random days where it's like 65 to 70 degrees, and then on any given day it could also snow, and it just goes back and forth between that. So it really, really fucks with your allergies because it's like seasonal whiplash.
Yeah. I'm currently sick right now because of the seasonal change, and I hate this type of sickness because it's the kind that makes you like cough up the green, yellow pollen phlegm. It's disgusting. Ugh. Sorry if anybody's eating or enjoying morning coffee when you hear that. I'm really sorry, but it's the truth. It sucks and I hate it. And it doesn't feel like spring here. And I'm getting really sick of not being able to dress like a freaking hoe.
Yeah.
80 degrees outside.
I know. Same. It's time for me to bring out some new wardrobes, and I'm actually in the process of like trying to thrift, not a whole new wardrobe. I do like a lot of it, but I'm trying to change up my style like just a little bit. And I want to thrift those pieces because I love thrifting. It's really fun. It's better for the environment and it's more affordable. But also my ADHD brain, when I think, I was just talking about this with one of my friends over the weekend. When my brain is like, okay, I want a new wardrobe. I want the whole thing now, right? Like I want a whole brand new wardrobe now. And when you thrift, when you're planning to thrift a new wardrobe, like it takes time. You're not going to go to one thrift store one time. Well, most likely you're not going to find everything to replenish your wardrobe. So I'm trying to exercise patience.
Which is hard. I understand that totally because I used to thrift a lot, and because I wanted to like get all my shit together as quickly as possible, I would buy things that I really didn't even need, didn't even like. And you're like, but it's good because it's sustainable. No,
it's like $3. And then it just ends up going back to Goodwill 5 yeah. months later after I never wore it once.
Yeah. Like it's not that sustainable if you're buying it just for the sake of having a full wardrobe. So I get that.
Yeah. So, and also I'm very much, I have found a lot of joy in the Marie Kondo way of life. I'm not a minimalist by any means, but I do like the things that I own, I really want to love them. So I want to like love all of my clothes and all of my knickknacks. Like I love those. They're not just like random shit that I don't give a shit about. So I like the things that I do own, I really enjoy, and I want to continue that with my thrifted wardrobe. So it's a process. We're getting there. But you know what? It's just in time for hoe season.
Yeah, and I'm very excited for this season because all of my spring wardrobe and summer wardrobe has pretty much come in, and I ordered like a ton of like quarter not corduroy overalls, like light linen overalls to wear with like tank tops and stuff, and like little skimpy ass shirts. And it's my favorite time of year. It's our favorite time of year because it's when we're born.
That's true. We're getting into summer baby season.
Summer baby season. I am so ready for the summer. I always say everything fun and special happens in July. It's my favorite month. And I don't know why I just skipped, I totally skipped May and June. Fuck them. I don't care. I just love July. And I think last July might have been like the one time where nothing like extra crazy special happened.
Yeah, we've talked about on the podcast now, what, for 2, almost 3 years in a row, how our birthdays have for many years not always been the best day. Like we both end up like crying a lot of the times on our birthday, or something bad happens. And we were also like not being surrounded by the right people or being in good circumstances. So that definitely attributed to it. But last year I actually had it was like non-memorable. I don't even know what I did, but nothing bad happened. So you know what? I think that's good. I think I probably just like went out to dinner and like bought myself something, and you know, it was great. And I'm looking forward to our birthdays this year because I believe I will get to come see you potentially on the week of our birthdays, maybe the week before, maybe after, but I will get to see you in July.
So that would be so exciting. Oh my God. Liz and I haven't gotten to celebrate a birthday together since we were like 20.
Yeah, it's been 7 years. Damn, that's a long time.
Wait, so did we celebrate our.
We didn't celebrate our 21st birthdays together.
I have a distinct memory in my head of there being a cake on the kitchen counter at the old house. And
Yeah.
you were blowing the candles out or something, and you were wearing a light blue shirt, and your hair was in a ponytail. And I can't remember if it was if you were blowing out the candles.
That's so weird that you remember that. That's exactly right. And the only reason I know about that memory is because there's a photo of that exact moment.
That's why I remember it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, because if that photo didn't exist, I wouldn't remember that.
Oh,
But
that's
yeah, there is a photo of that moment. So yeah, that was the last time we celebrated our birthdays, was at the
and
house.
was that 19 or was that 20?
I think that was 20. It may have been 19. It's been many, many years.
I truly cannot remember what I was like at 19.
Same.
I don't know what was going on.
No, well, I wasn't there. I was somewhere else. My body was here, like, you know, acting like a normal person, but my brain was somewhere else. And also, oh, no, I think we told listeners I get to come see you in June and in July. So there's going to be probably some really special episodes coming up for those months because we'll get to be together.
Yes.
And also, I think that's probably a good time for me to like maybe I can start our 100K giveaway present here and like bring it with me and just like leave it with you.
That would be a good idea.
Because that would be a good deadline, probably for the one in June, because honest to God, I think there's a potential we might have to work even quicker than June.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. But just as a reminder for you guys, if you're a new listener, which we do have quite a few of you, thank you for joining the online coven that we have here in our little community. But we are doing a 100K giveaway for when we hit 100,000 subscribers. And originally, Brooke and I thought we weren't going to hit it until, like, I don't know, November, December. We thought it was going to be the end of the year. And you guys are blowing our shit up, and we love it so much. And we are probably in the next week going to pass 70,000 subscribers. And we are going to blow through 100K so fast. And we wanted to show our appreciation and do something really special for you guys. And our original giveaway was a 50K giveaway. And the winner got to pick anything that they wanted from our merch shop. But this one is just such a huge milestone. So Brooke and I are going to collaborate on an art piece, since we're both creatives and artists, and it'll be something that I start, and then I'm going to hand it off to Brooke, and she is going to finish it. So you will have a handcrafted piece literally done by the two of us, which is just so special to, like, work on together, and we're really excited to give that away. So yeah, otherwise, those are our updates. So I guess we can jump into the episode.
Wait, oh my God, one more update. Also, we got our Hex the Patriarchy sweatshirts in the mail, and holy shit, I just am so, I don't know, have you washed yours yet?
Yeah.
Because when you, oh my God, when you wash it, the art gets so nice and soft. I thought it was going to be crinkly, and I was like, oh, that's a bummer, but, like, whatever.
No, it's like
so soft.
It's like the ink. It's not like a design is ironed on top. The ink is, like, in the material.
Yeah.
And
yeah, not an iron.
So it, yeah. So it doesn't, like, crinkle when you wash it, because it's not something just laying on the surface. It's, like, in the material, if that makes sense.
I love it. It is so perfect. It makes me so fucking happy, and it's adorable.
I've been strutting around Brooke's witchful thinking booty design on a tote bag all around town. I love that thing so much. I take that everywhere. I don't give a shit. I will take it everywhere. I'll take it. Maybe I should bring it to Virginia with me. And because I feel like, you know, you would probably get more looks walking around in your town with a bag with a cute ass butt on it. I mean, it's a good looking butt.
It is a nice butt.
It's a nice ass.
I drew a very nice ass.
Yeah.
I also ordered a Magic Juice sweatshirt for Jackson, and he's very excited about it. He kept bugging me. He was like, when am I getting one? When do I get one? When do I get to have one? I was like, oh my God, I'm going to fucking order it. Fine. But yeah, so I'm very excited.
I can't wait to see that.
So excited. He's so excited to model it for us.
Yeah, we need some male representation.
Yeah, we've got Anthony. Shout out Anthony. Also, Anthony wants to be on the podcast, so we need to figure out something.
Maybe we need to have an episode with our male models.
Yeah.
Anthony and Jackson.
And Anthony and Jackson.
A male model episode. So speaking of that, if you guys order merch for yourself, send us pictures. Mm-hmm. And if you can convince your boyfriend or your male friend or whoever to wear it and strut it too for a picture, or if you buy one for a male, see if you can get us a picture, because we would love to have all kinds of representation on our Instagram, and we would love for people to be able to see what these different designs look like on different people. So send us your pictures when you get your merch. And we know lots of you guys purchased merch last month. Yeah. We saw the stats. So when you get it, you need to send us pictures.
Yes, we haven't even cashed out on Teespring yet, but we know many of you. Okay, there have been several orders. All right, so don't be shy. Send us a picture.
Yeah. Is that all of our updates?
I think so. Yeah.
I think so. Okay, so Brooke posted on our Instagram earlier today to send us your questions. We are recording today. Like, send us whatever the hell is on your mind kind of thing. And we got quite a few responses. So we'll do some shout outs and shout out the individuals who sent us their questions, and we will talk about them. So the first question is from someone who we recognize. This person interacts with our podcast quite often. So hello to Brie M. Stitz. And her question is, mental health check. How have you guys been doing lately? And what are you doing for yourselves?
Oh,
that's so sweet. That is such a nice question.
Favorite.
I know. So mental health check is at least for me, well, Brooke and I are both in therapy. We both have a psychiatrist. You guys know, if you've been listening for a long time, we are very, very pro therapy. We talk about it all the time. We have episodes where we talk about things our therapist told us. It's just something we really advocate for, and it's had a really positive impact for both of us. But at least, you know, speaking for myself, I told my therapist that I am currently the happiest I've ever been in my entire life, which, like, I've never said that. And I'm doing work that I love, and I'm like becoming financially stable doing something that I didn't think would even be possible to make money doing, let alone being stable doing it. And I have recently just met some really amazing people, and the people who have come into my life recently, I've just really connected with, and they are like light energies themselves. Like, I just love being around them, and I don't know, it just feels like I'm living in alignment, and like things are just manifesting. Like, Brooke and I wanted to see each other over the summer, and now we're going to get to see each other twice. And it like just kind of happened. And so there's just been like really great opportunities. So I'm just enjoying this phase of life right now, because obviously life and mental health is a roller coaster, or a wave, you could say. There's always going to be ups and downs, I think, through our entire lives. And so, you know, while I'm on an up, I am really enjoying it.
On that note, I have not been doing that well mentally. So like, for obvious reasons, we haven't talked about it on the podcast because it is like very personal, but like, let's just say like I have a health issue right now that I've been dealing with since January, and I am in, some days I'm in like very uncomfortable pain in a certain area of my body. If we ever have a spicy podcast, this is the type of shit where I would not be on. I wouldn't be censoring myself.
Yeah.
Just know this is something that the gynecologist handles, and I have not been feeling, I am not in like consistent pain. It kind of just depends on the healing process. But when I am in pain, I'm really just not good, because I can't walk. Like, I can't move, and I'll be in a great mood. It'll be like bright and sunny outside. All I want to do is throw on a dress and like go to the great big greenhouse and like shop for plants or something. And I can't because like it hurts to walk. And so like I was really having a tough time the other day and I kept thinking like, am I getting bad again? Like that's where my brain always goes. Anytime I'm upset, first my brain is like, okay, be logical. Is this your birth control talking? Is this your period? Or are you getting bad again? Like, are you getting depressed again? And I was telling Jackson, I was like, I don't feel great. And he just put it into perspective. He was like, you have just been dealing with this health issue for months and you're exhausted and you're in pain and you're sick of it. And like, this is totally normal. And it just made me feel very heard. Like he made me feel very justified in being upset, and also helped me to realize like, I'd be shocked if you were feeling happy right now, because you know, women's health is so under-researched, and dealing with vagina issues fucking sucks. Yeah, having a vagina sometimes fucking sucks. Living with endometriosis fucking sucks. And it's extremely hard to explain to people, oh, I can't go out because ... this is what's going on, because you know, a lot of people haven't heard of it. They don't understand it. Yeah. And yeah, so that has kind of been where my brain has been at. I've also been struggling really bad with overstimulation. Like there have been so many times over the past few like weeks where Liz will call me and I will immediately have to be like, are you in your car? If you're in your car, just call me when you get home. Like the sound of like wind in the windows when someone FaceTimes me from their car, or like the sound of like Bluetooth echoing, or like when I'm cleaning and I'll be playing music and the TV's going and I'm rushing from task to task, I get so overstimulated that I just fucking crash and I just have to lay in the dark and I'm not any good for the rest of the day, and I hate it. And it happens so suddenly, and it's gotten pretty bad this year. And I don't know what really has triggered it to get as bad as it has, but it makes me very restless and very pissed off. Anyone who has ADHD or has sensory issues knows what I mean when I say like too much sensory input will seriously put you in the worst mood. Like someone just talking to me will make me so mad. I'm like, I can't stand any more noise. I can't. Yeah. And yeah, so there's that. And some days are better than others, but I will be probably like back at 98% once what is wrong with me heals.
Yeah. I mean, and also like, not only have you dealt with this since January, the entire like past 2 years for you have been health thing after health thing. And, you know, I would be exhausted too. Like you're just ready for, you deserve a break from health issues because you've been dealing with them for a long time.
Yeah, I would definitely like a break. I mean, at least like my stomach hasn't been bothering me lately. Knock on wood. I'm literally knocking on my embroidery hoop. Mm-hmm. That's nice. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. And I've really just been wanting to sit down and read a book, and I can't focus. I've been wanting to get back to YouTube, and I can't sit down and think of things that I want to do. And it's really just been making me feel so fucking scatterbrained, and I hate it. And I know that I'm not the only person dealing with it, so like that makes it a little bit better, but it's something that I'm gonna like probably start talking to my doctor about, is getting treatment for ADHD or starting Wellbutrin in addition to Lexapro, because I don't know, bro, brain broken.
Yeah, come on, brain. think of things.
Think and do your job.
Think of things. I say that all the time now when I will be speaking to Brooke and like literally talking to her, and what was about to come out of my mouth just poof, it's gone. And
think of
brain. Think of things. Come on, brain. Yeah, for our ADHD listeners out there, and we know we got them. We see you. Brooke and I have mentioned it on the podcast before. We both have ADHD, and I got an official diagnosis back in December. And I personally have been trying medication, and it has really been working for me. And the only way I can describe it is by saying it feels like I put glasses on my brain. And I've done things since in the few months that I have been on medication that I've been wanting to do for months, months and months and months. And especially as a mostly self-employed person, like I can't let myself down because, you know, my brain does not want to do executive functions, or I procrastinate, or I get so overstimulated, I can't get out of bed or do anything. And that was becoming a problem. So I talked to my doctor about it, and the adjustments I've made just in the year of 2022 have really, really made a impactful, what's the word? It's been impactful. It's I don't know. I can't think of the word. But yeah, so Brooke and I are not doctors. And of course, we talk about our mental health on this podcast. Thank you, Bree, for your question about our mental health. And we always advise if you think you, you know, may have something that you're curious to know if you have it or not, seek professional help and always talk to your doctor about certain treatments. We are just talking about our personal experiences. So just throwing that precautionary, what is the thing out there? What is that called?
Girl, your guess is as good as mine. You'd be asking me all the time, what's that called? What is it? I don't know.
Shit. A warning. It's some kind of warning.
Girl, I don't know what you're talking about.
When you put a warning like in front of a video or something.
Yeah, that's a warning.
Oh, okay. I wonder how many times on this podcast when you or I feel like it's mostly me can't remember words and I'm like trying to get you to remember it for me. And the listeners are like, oh my God, it's this. I wish I could tell you because I forget so many words all the time. That's just me. But anyway, let's move on to the second one.
Are we going to the side or are we going down?
I was going to the side.
Go ahead to the side then.
Okay. So this question is from Ada. Dot Muir. I apologize if I said that wrong. And her question is casting circles. How? I love that. How you do that thing?
How do you do?
Okay, so to be quite frank, I personally don't officially cast circles. Do you, Brooke?
I used to when I practiced Wicca.
Okay. So if you want to cast circles, please absolutely do that. Especially if it makes you feel, you know, protected and empowered and like you're clearing out an energy in the room to fill it with yours when you're practicing. I use intentions essentially as like my circle. So I just envision my intentions surrounding me, but there are more official ways and they're not official. That's the wrong word because not one way to cast a circle is necessarily more official than the other. There's just many different ways to cast a circle. And some people, I feel like most people do it with, you know, directions of north, south, east, and west. And then also with the elements of water, fire, air, and earth. And potentially you could call on a god or a goddess, a deity that you're working with to protect you. And so this is, I feel like that question, that's really hard to answer just because there are so many ways to cast a circle. And it's really just up to personal preference and what you like and what you enjoy. So if I had to give any advice on how to cast a circle, I would research different ways to cast a circle. And if one of them automatically sticks out to you, that's great. And if they don't, maybe try different things that you're seeing in your from your research and just see what resonates with you, what you enjoy the most, what makes you feel the most protected, because I feel that is that's the purpose of casting a circle, is to protect yourself and your energy when you're practicing witchcraft. So I feel like it's, you know, whether that's your intentions or whether that's using, you know, surrounding yourself with crystals, whether that's calling on a deity, whether, you know, some people use a sword to cast the circle. Some people use salt. Some people light a candle. It's really up to you. And my personal belief is there really isn't a wrong way to cast a circle, but you could disagree with that. And that's totally fine. That if you believe there is very certain ways to cast a circle, then do you do that? Personally, I don't believe there's a wrong way to do it. It's just whatever makes you feel good and what you like, in my eyes.
I agree. When I used to do it, I always focused on the elements and the like directions, north, south, east, west. But it literally has been so long since I formally did that I don't even remember if I started with, I think I would start with the north. Don't even really remember what element I started with. I remember I had a circle around me of salt. I would do that. So that was always a big, nice mess. I'd have to pull the carpet back and put a whole fucking circle of salt. That's another reason I don't do it anymore, is because when I did it, I would want to do it with salt. And you can also do it with smoke, with a sage stick or something, if you know, you don't want to clean up salt. But I always did it with salt, and it was just a mess to clean up. So that's kind of why I didn't do it anymore. And I can't wait for the day that this podcast reaches the wrong witch and somebody gets pissed at us for saying that you don't have to cast a circle. Someone's gonna come at us and be like, "You're teaching people the wrong things."
You know, I'm sure that will happen. And to anybody listening who thinks that what we're saying is not correct, that's totally fine. Obviously, you can send us a message if you would like to tell us your opinions. But, you know, personally, we do not gatekeep on this channel, and it is our belief as witches that there isn't one specific way to do things, and that is just how we approach it. That's how we practice it. But we're not, you know, we're not going to judge you if you do believe there's a specific way to do it. Please do it the way you believe it should be done. But you know, there is just such a large audience of witches that I think we were in that boat before we started our podcast, where we felt like I did the same thing. I also would cast a circle with salt, and I did it this very specific way because I thought I had to. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's how it was done. And there was only this way to do it. So I did it that way. And it's not that I disliked it, but I ended up finding different ways that just felt more in alignment with me. I felt more connected, and it made me want to do it more often because I wasn't doing something I really didn't want to do. And that is just our personal belief on this channel. And so that's the kind of stuff we're going to preach every single time, is there's no one specific way to have your practice. Just like if you want to accompany your practice with a religion, that's totally fine. And even for people who practice religion, there is multiple ways that people practice the same religion. And it's the same with witchcraft. So that's you're just going to repeatedly hear that on this channel, is we really don't believe that there's like a wrong way to do a lot of these things.
Yeah. So.
To sum up your question, Ada, unfortunately, I don't have one thing that's like, do it this way. My one thing would be to research and try some things out and figure out what you like. And you can mix, match, hodgepodge things that you find that you like, and get rid of things that you don't like, and really make it your own, and find something that you enjoy doing.
The next question is by Save C-I-K-V-Y. Save Sick Feet? I'm not sure. What was your first weird yet surprising coincidence when it came to witchcraft? I don't know if that means us, our coincidences.
I think it means like when you started practicing witchcraft, like what were some of the things that you started noticing that were, you're like, fuck, whoa, whoa, that just happened. I know that shit definitely started happening for me, and I was noticing it, and I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. And I just remember feeling that way. And unfortunately, I should have written some of these things down. Honest to God, a lot of these things are probably just randomly in old episodes, because we probably talked about it, you know, the week that it happened in old episodes. But off the top of my head, I definitely started, you know, seeing, repeating numbers. And I have seen them ever since. They just don't go away. I see them multiple times a day. And it has only gotten stronger over the years. And I also, like I've mentioned in previous episodes, I really started practicing because I wanted to get more in touch with my spiritual side, and I wanted to be more in touch with the people that I had lost, because I was intensely grieving, and I just needed to feel some kind of connection to them at the time. So I felt like I started seeing signs from them, and I had been asking for them. And there were things that I felt like, I can't remember. I'm so mad. I can't remember specific instances, but I just remember things happening that made me feel like I could like recognize my own inner power and my strength. And that was like magic. That's what magic is to me. And that's like what really made me fall in love with the practice, because it just empowered me so much as an individual and as a woman. And I think both of us feel like the practice really helped us get back in the driver's seat of our own lives. And that's a huge thing. So there've been a lot of crazy coincidences, of course, that happened to the two of us since, but that's not anything new for us.
I agree definitely with the numbers. I will say that I feel like I notice angel numbers way more. Like I see 444 every single day. I see 1111 twice a day. But one thing I think that really started to happen very often was my, like, me manifesting things that I want in my life. Before I started practicing, I had no idea like what it meant to manifest. I didn't know what the law of attraction was, until like I got into witchcraft. When I was practicing Wicca, like 2017 or so, I really didn't know very much about anything. definitely hadn't heard of the law of attraction or anything like that. But I do feel like as I got more grooved in with my craft, my ability to manifest like money and job, you know, promotions, and like I manifested my whole entire job that I have. Like I was so positive that I was going to find a work from home job in 2018 that I bought a freaking IKEA desk and I set up a home office before I'd even found the job. And it has really, like you said, like it's really empowered me and made me feel like I'm very sure of my own intuition. I trust my gut so much. Like I think the last big manifesting moment that I had was last April, on this day when I had been asking the universe for weeks, months, even maybe, I need a change. I don't know what needs to change, but I need one. I am so desperately bored of this mundane life that I'm living and this relationship that is not fulfilling at all. It doesn't offer anything except for what is comfortable and familiar, not necessarily what is healthy. And I need something new. And, you know, sometimes your manifestations come to you and they don't come to you in the form that you think that they should, but you still get exactly what you have been expecting to, like what you want to happen comes to you. It just took a totally different form. It has to come to you in a totally different way. And mm-hmm. I think that was probably the strongest manifestation I've ever had in my life. Unintentionally, to be quite honest. But yeah, just I've started trusting the process of life a lot more since becoming a witch.
Yeah, that's interesting that manifesting was, because I think you are like a master manifester, and Brooke can literally manifest someone messaging her or like out of the fucking blue just by mentioning their name. Okay, I swear to God, it's insane. It blows my mind every time. And I think that's like one, I do think that you're like just naturally gifted at it. So you were manifesting when you first even touched in, like tapped into this practice and your intuition. And for me, it's like manifesting did not come easy to me. When I first began practicing, I was trying to manifest and it was not happening for me. It was not happening. And I spent a long time trying to manifest and nothing was happening. And so I started then trying to figure out why am I not able to manifest? And I realized that I had multiple blockages that were preventing me from manifesting anything really. And everything was like pulling teeth and then I still wouldn't get it. And that manifesting did not come easy to me. That was like one of the hardest things I had to learn in my spirituality and in my craft. And it's the thing I wanted the most because I wanted control over my life. I know that like I have the power to build my life and make it what I want. And I was busting my ass so hard to do it. And I wasn't seeing the return at the moment. And not only were there blockages at the time for me, but also I, you know, in retrospect, of course, at the time I couldn't see it. But looking back now, I can tell that the time and the phase of life that I was in when none of my manifestations were working and I could not manifest anything. I was in the middle of like probably one of my life's greatest lessons. And I, you know, I'm not someone who's like, everything happens for a reason, but I was definitely I was in a huge lesson period and I had to learn that lesson that I was in. If I had just been able to manifest things like I can now, then I would not have learned my lesson. So that, you know, I was like, oh my God, I fucking suck at this, or it's not real. It's all a lie. It's bullshit because it doesn't work. No, I was in the middle of a huge lesson and I had blockages out the ass. Okay. I was manifestingly constipated.
Manifestation constipation.
Yes. Is that the title of this episode?
I was literally about to say, that made your pussy throb.
I'll make your pussy throb. Yes. I had manifestation constipation, you guys. But something that, I don't know, you know, it's almost like the universe will give you what you need in the moment, because what did come naturally to me was like connecting with the people I wanted to connect with. I was trying to connect with my mom. And then after my cat passed away, I was trying to connect to my cat. And I, you know, since their passing, have never felt closer to them than literally the moment I started practicing witchcraft.
And that goes into like with the living too for you, because you will literally say like, I'm trying to get like this specific client, and then you'll have a meeting with them and be like, I got them. Like, you do that now.
Yeah. So, you know, I think there were things that, I don't know if it's necessarily like, oh, that's your gift and you were born able to do that and you're just amazing at it. I think it's just, you know, it's a combination of nature and nurture and where we're at with our mental health and where we're at in our life and what we have the capacity to do and whether or not you have blockages. So those, all of that stuff essentially like ended up becoming like those weird coincidences that we experienced when we first started practicing, because it was what really started happening for us at first, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And then it's just, it's been very interesting as, I mean, what, it's almost been 3 years now. I think it has been 3 years.
What?
April is when, this is our 3 year anniversary this month.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No.
Wait, no, 2 year, two.
Yeah.
Cause it started April 2020. I don't understand time. Okay. So our 2 year. and just the things that we're able to do now on such a larger scale. And I mean, just everything is different for us from when we first started. So yeah, so it's kind of funny to like think back on all those first experiences, because it makes you excited. You're like, oh my God, it's working.
Yeah. Another good example. I think we've talked about this before on here, but another great example of manifesting and like things that have, I guess this is one of the only things that have really happened like in person for us, was when I was moving last June and I remembered that I had to pay rent in two places, and I was like, ah, fuck, I've got to come up with like $1,300 for this new apartment. And then I was like, I'll figure it out, it'll be fine. And then literally like 10 minutes later, I go to the mail and I've gotten a full tax refund. In yeah. June. And then I nearly ripped it.
I know, you practically ripped it in half because you were so excited. That happened to me because, and this was a long time ago. This was probably, I believe this was like 2018, maybe. No, actually, I think it was 2019. And actually, it was around the time when I first started practicing. And my ex essentially totaled my car, and I had no idea that his license was suspended, and also the accident was his fault. Like, he was the person who hit somebody else. So my car was totaled, and my insurance did not cover the damages for my car, and it also did not cover the damages to the other car. And that was our only vehicle, was mine. So like, there was literally, I got a phone call one day that said, like, you need to pay us $8,000 by this time. or we're going to sue you. And I was like, oh my God, what the hell? And I kid you not, I got an email. I'm not going to like share super, super personal details. Later that month, I ended up getting a check for $9,000. Which I am really pissed I had to spend that money on what I had to spend it on because this person was just irresponsible and did not check in. It was like over something stupid, like, you know, an unpaid parking ticket or some bullshit. And so the license was suspended. And so I'm really pissed that that money had to go there. But also that was a moment where I was like, oh my God, how the hell am I going to come up with that? Because he definitely wasn't. So I took it upon myself and I was like, I need to figure out how to get $8,000. And by the end of the month, I literally manifested that money and got $1,000 extra. I got $9,000 and the whole thing was covered and I was totally fine. I didn't get sued.
He'd be sitting in jail if it wasn't for you.
Yeah. I should have. But yeah, so those were some of our weird coincidences. Next question is by Your Grounded Destiny, and they ask thoughts on cultural appropriation in the witchcraft community. Now, this actually goes a little bit, just to backtrack a little bit into something that I said earlier about, you know, we don't gatekeep how you practice, and we're firm believers that you can practice however you want. This is a good thing to point out though, because cultural appropriation is real. That's definitely something that you want to be aware of and that you want to educate yourself. Wow. Educate yourself on. This is really good. What do you think about this, Brooke?
I was actually, the first thing I was going to say was about the white sage.
Yeah.
And also about people who are, you know, American, of American descent. They don't have any lineage of, I don't even know what.
Colonization?
No, I don't even like know what culture I'm trying to refer to. You know, like, remember the woman, it was a white woman who was doing some magic with like trying to call on some like African deities and she ended up dead. That's the type of shit that I'm like, that don't. You're fucking with something that is not meant for you. Like, this is not meant for your people. This is something sacred to a culture you've probably never heard of. You're going to wake up dead.
Yeah. I mean, and I think that it's totally like, if you are super interested in how a specific culture practiced witchcraft or whatever it is, feel free to do all of the research that you want. And I do believe that there are ways to appreciate culture that you love without appropriating it. So you know, when we say like practice how you want, you know, we're saying cast a circle however you would, like with smoke or with salt or with your intention. Do a spell how you would, like with your intention, with water. Like, there's many different ways to do things. But definitely, if you are interested in someone else's culture, do research and figure out how you can incorporate it into your practice with appreciation and not appropriation.
Don't go calling on deities and goddesses and gods that you don't know too much about. Some good books. I actually had like, I have a list because I kind of wanted to do like an episode on Marie Laveau one day. So a few books, if you're interested in, this would be like voodoo magic. If you're interested in learning about this and learning about the origins of it and the differences between Western culture, like witchcraft and, you know, stuff from like fucking just African religious traditions that have nothing to do with, I don't fucking know even, I got just nothing to do with like modern day witchcraft that is, you know, circles around crystals and smoke and candle, like, just, you know what the fuck I'm trying to say. Voodoo Queen, The Spirited Lives of Marie Laveau. There's also one called Goddesses and Voodoo Queens, The Divine Feminine in the African Religious Traditions. So that would be probably a good one to read if you're trying to learn more about how to honor a goddess from that culture specifically correctly and not piss anybody off. Another one is called The Magical of Marie Laveau, Embracing the Spiritual Legacy of the Voodoo Queen of New Orleans. I want to visit New Orleans so bad. Everyone has told me that the area itself is so dirty and gross, but AHS made me just want to visit it so bad.
I would love to go back. I've only passed through traveling, but I like didn't get to stay and appreciate it. And that area is so full of culture and art, and just like any city, like there's going to be parts of town that are dirty and weird. You know, it's just like any city, but it's just, New Orleans is so full of life and energy and magic. Like, I definitely want to go there again.
Another one, Slavic witchcraft, old world conjuring spells and folklore, Obeah, Race and Racism, Caribbean witchcraft in the English imagination. So that's another, it's funny that that one's on here because I don't know if you ever read Jane Eyre, but there is a version, someone wrote a version of Jane Eyre that is written from the perspective of the quote crazy wife that is being kept in the attic, and her perspective, she's from the Caribbean and she practices witchcraft, and she has, I think, I don't quote me, this could be totally wrong, I think Obeah is something to do with Caribbean witchcraft, if not the reference of a person, like a type of person, like an Obeah in, I don't know. Yeah. That's on there. And then also this one, and this is note two, actually. Spiritual Fetishism, a Study of West African Culture, Witchcraft, Magic, and Demonology. Definitely, I think I even want to read that one because who knows?
I want to read that.
Yeah, dude, I'll send you these links. And then another one, The Modernity of Witchcraft, Politics, and the Occult in Post-Colonial Africa. So I think when I think about people culturally appropriating in witchcraft, that's the culture that I typically, I'm just like, you don't fuck with that.
Yeah, definitely also send me the link for the Slavic witchcraft book, because that's something I've been interested in just reading about, because I'm Slavic and I have never done research about witchcraft in my own heritage. And I don't know if it's something that I want to incorporate in my practice. It's just something I would like to learn about and read about.
Well, shoot, looks like we might be having a little witchcraft book club here soon.
I was just going to say, do we need a book club?
Do we need a freaking book club?
We might need a book club.
We might need one. I'm not going to lie.
ADHD friendly book club, by the way. So like, we're not reading a book a week is what I'm saying.
Because no,
I can't do that.
No, and I physically
that's why I can't join a book club, because they read a whole book every week. Like, I can't do that. I don't have the attention span for that.
I just found a book called Pussy Prayers, Sacred and Sensual Rituals for Wild Women of Color. Ooh.
Ooh. Speaking of books and how we can't read them because we don't have the attention span, I have actually, that's something I've really been working on, is trying to figure out how I can read books, because I want to read books again. I just have not been able to like sit down and finish one. And so some tips that my therapist gave me were like, okay, you know, obviously try to find books that are going to interest you. Don't force yourself to read something you don't want to read. And start with smaller books. Like, don't get a large ass novel that looks intimidating, that looks like you're never going to finish it. And I recently finished the book Living Tantra, and it's by Jan Day. And this was a really, really good book. It's about, like, there's a little blurb on the front that says a journey into sex, spirit, and relationship. And it's about, like, how your spirit and your energy affect your relationship with yourself and your relationship with others and your sex life with yourself and your sex life outside of yourself. And it really just makes you dive deep into asking, like, really personal questions. And there are prompts if you want to, like, journal with it. But things like one of the ones that really I really loved reading was she was saying, like, sometimes, a lot of the times, we say no to things when we actually mean yes. And we say yes to things when we actually mean no. And it could be a big thing or it could be a small thing. It could be like, someone asking, like, hey, do you want to, go out to dinner with us and some friends tonight? And it's not that, and you say yes because, like, you love those friends, you love those people. That sounds like, like that's a good time. It's not like something you wouldn't want to do, but, like, in actuality, you had a really long day at work, you're really tired, and all you actually want to do is go home and take a nap. But, like, we might say yes to it anyway because those are our friends or whatever. And it's just at first, just recognizing those things and thinking, I said yes to this, but I actually wanted to say no. And how would it have made me feel if I actually said what I wanted? And if I had said no, I actually just had a long day at work and I want to go take a nap. And it was very insightful for me. It asked me a lot of thought-provoking questions, and I felt like this book, like, helped me to connect with my inner self. So that book was a breeze for me to read. I really enjoyed it.
How did we get on this topic?
The question started off as cultural appropriation. Got a book. This is what it's like. Listen to a podcast with ADHD ears.
Literally,
Okay, the next one.
we need to put that in our bio. Like, listen to these two ADHD witches.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a good, disclaimer. That's the fucking word I was looking for earlier. Disclaimer. Yes. Sorry, I just, like,
A disclaimer is
had
not
an
a warning.
epiphany.
A disclaimer is not a warning, though. You were looking for warning, and you said,
No, I was looking for disclaimer.
but why?
I just couldn't think of it, so I said warning. I can't even remember now, but yes, that would be a good thing to put in our bio. The next one is by Carrie Nasso, and they asked, she said, first of all, love you guys. We love you too. That is so sweet. And their question is, what is your favorite moon phase and why?
All of them, because I'm a moon child. That's why. Ew.
Do you know what moon phase you were born under?
Shit. I did know, and I think it was waning crescent, but now I don't remember. There's a good chance that you and I had the same moon.
I know. May I mean, well,
Well, it's
mine
not.
was a waning gibbous. Let me see what yours was. Yours was a waning gibbous. We were born under the same moon.
That's
Like,
so
literally,
cool.
because if you're new here, Brooke and I are 3 days apart, and we were born in the same hospital. And we most likely stayed in the baby room together.
We love to tell everybody how we probably stayed in the baby room together.
That's really special to me, so I'm going to talk about it forever.
It's my favorite thing. I think it's
I
so
know.
cute because we didn't even meet till like 17 years later.
I know. Yeah, favorite moon phase. So obviously, like, I love a good full moon, just like any witch, because they're beautiful. Like, I could literally sit outside and stare at that thing all night. It is mesmerizing to me to look at a full moon. And, full moons are the phases where you want to manifest and charge up your moon juice. And I feel like there's, like, a lot of potential and a lot of opportunities to do things on full moon. So I love that phase, and I also love the waxing gibbous because that's what Brooke and I were born under.
Yes, that works. So the next question comes from Sydney.Walker. How did you find your spiritual therapist? So we didn't have, neither one of us technically really had spiritual therapists. We just happened to have therapists who were cool.
Well, so my therapist was spiritual, but she was not like, she wasn't advertised as a spiritual therapist. So, it did say that in her bio though. So that is definitely one reason why I connected with her and wanted to reach out to her to see if she was accepting new clients, because, you know, if you're looking for a therapist and you're looking at bios, they'll say specializes in this, this, and this. And one of the things that she specialized in was like spirituality. And, you know, she listed things that like really resonated with me. And so I started talking to her, and that's when I figured out she like practiced witchcraft herself, but that wasn't in her bio did not say practicing witch therapist. Unfortunately, that would have been great.
You're not going to find that kind of therapist by going through your insurance because it's not advertised. Like if you end up finding a therapist like that, it is literally luck of the draw, because unfortunately that's how health insurance works.
Yeah. And you could probably, I would assume, I've never Googled this myself, but I would assume if you are 100% sure you need a spiritual therapist, you can find one by doing research. It's just not going to be guaranteed that there will be a network for you. So it was totally luck of the draw for me that I found that therapist, and I found her through my insurance provider. So that really was luck of the draw. And she was kind of like my Mary Poppins therapist. Like she was there for me when I needed her, and when I didn't need her anymore for a period of time, she went away. But like, I was like, we're friends now, even though like I paid you to be my friend. I love you. It's like, I don't want to lose you. I love talking to you. Or not. I always say Mary Poppins, Nanny McPhee. She's my Nanny McPhee therapist. So yeah, that really just happened to be luck of the draw. If you're not concerned with finding an in-network therapist, totally do research on finding a spiritual therapist. There are definitely people who specialize in that.
If you are not interested in Christian therapy though, be sure that you specify that, because I have had a Christian therapist who was listed as spiritual, and she didn't, she never pushed Christianity on me or anything like that, but most of the spiritual therapists are going to be listed as like, or no, most of the Christian therapists are going to be listed as spiritual therapists. So if you don't want that, just keep it in mind.
Yeah. So yeah, the next question was submitted from Rozo_Girasol. We are really sorry if we are butchering any of these.
Yeah, sorry.
And they asked, which are your favorite witchy movies of all time?
The Craft.
Brooke loves The Craft. I have yet. Is that a TV series?
No.
Just a movie. I don't. Either it's been a really long time since I've seen The Craft, or I don't have much memory of it. So I should totally watch that. Yeah. My favorite witchy movie is a TV show, not a movie. And I have watched the new 17 words.
Sabrina
the Teenage Witch. I loved that series so much. I've watched it 3 times. It kind of became my comfort show to watch. So after I saw it once, like, I'm a big Harry Potter fan, and as a teenager, I watched it over and over and over again, and I would just have it on in the background. I could recite all of the lines practically, and it was something that I just, you know, it was very comfortable to have on because it made me happy, and I'd seen it 100 times. And for me during the pandemic, Sabrina the Teenage Witch was that for me. I just loved it so much. So yeah, that is my favorite witchy show.
That show is great. I love it. You know who really got on my nerves though, and it was Harvey. Harvey was so irritating.
He was really irritating.
In the TV, old TV show, he played like he was really dumb. But then in this one, he was almost like, he's just such a know-it-all. Like, and I didn't like how they called Sabrina. He called Sabrina Brina. It just made me want to throw up. but other than that, like, I really loved it. And I love Kiernan Shipka. She is such a good actress.
I just think they did a really great job with having such a strong, empowered female, you know, main characters. And I love the diversity that they brought to the show. And I personally loved the darker aspect of it, because the original Sabrina the Teenage Witch was super lighthearted, and it was a comedy show on, what was it, ABC Family or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was something that was just like, oh my God, I want to get this date and I like this boy or what. It was very lighthearted and comedic. And this was comedic, but it was also had like really dark elements and serious things happening. And personally, I loved that. So
let's see. Next up is from my friend Anthony Toolbag. Why does it do to be there with this and that when none is? Anthony, you just gave me an aneurysm. Next.
Yeah.
How do you deal with a coworker that retaliates against you for being a witch? First of all, I have to say to that is separation of workplace environment and your personal life. That's none of their business. So,
yeah. And I mean, obviously, if somebody's retaliating against you, you need to bring that up to your HR department or your boss or your manager. Because no matter what kind of retaliation, whether it's because you are a witch or you wore pink pants today, or somebody is being super misogynistic or racist, or there is SA happening in the workplace, like if there is some kind of retaliation happening to you, that's not okay under any circumstance. And your supervisors should definitely be brought into the situation, and that's not something that you should have to deal with all by yourself.
Yeah, that is 100% an HR problem for sure.
And that's a really tricky thing, because I have worked for many companies with HR departments, as most do, and we all probably know by now that HR is advertised as like, oh, we're here to help you, the employee. And HR is really just the department that covers the company's ass. And there are plenty of circumstances where people will go to HR and tell them about something that is serious. And they're like, well, we can't do anything until something actually happens, like the fucking police. We can't do anything until you're already murdered. So yeah, you're out of luck. So that's really hard. I have a friend who is dealing with some coworker issues in her workplace, and she's not a witch. But there's just things that, scare me for her. She is very nervous to go to work because of this circumstance. And she has told every higher up she possibly can. And they told her, well, he hasn't done anything yet though. Like, he's just threatening it. So we can't do anything about that. And it really, this should not be the position for her to be in. But my only thing that I would tell her and that I would do myself is I would go get a new job. And that it should not be that way, because it shouldn't be my responsibility to have to go get a new job because of what somebody else is doing. If it's really that bad and nobody's doing anything. And also it's like, it can be a privilege to just go get a new job. Not everybody can do that and find something that makes the same amount of money, that they love what they're, you know, they might love the job they have now. So it's a really tricky circumstance. And, yeah, that's something you have to like weigh the pros and cons of okay, I've already done X, Y, and Z, and it's still happening. Like, should I go get another job? Should I try and... That's rough. That's really hard.
And I would go to HR first and just say this person is disrespecting me because of my spiritual practice. And yeah, that would be the end of it, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not cool. And if that is happening to you, I'm really sorry. That's not cool to deal with. The next question was submitted by Sad Pancake.
Oh, what a nice name.
Cool at, love that. And they asked, how do you get back into witchcraft after taking a break for a while? And personally, my answer to that is you can do whatever the hell you want. I don't think there's a way to get back into it. Just like we said earlier, how we don't think there's one right way to practice. You know, fuck it. Do whatever you want to get back into it. And honestly, if you identify as a witch and you like took a break from quote unquote formally practicing, like making spell jars or writing in a grimoire or having an herb guard, whatever, I don't think that the time period that you took a break is like, oh, I can't call myself a witch now. And I don't necessarily think that you got out of it to begin, you know. I don't think just because you're not actively practicing doesn't mean, oh, I can't call myself this anymore and I'm not one. More than likely, you were probably doing things with your spirituality that incorporated witchcraft that you didn't even like really think about, you know, with your intentions and just little things like lighting candles or giving yourself a nice hot bubble bath. There's probably things you've been doing when you were like, quote unquote, taking a break that you didn't even realize. But personally, I don't think there's a one way to just get back into it. I think you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. Just pick up your spell jar shit and make another one. You like candle magic, do a candle magic spell. Yeah. Just do something that you used to do.
Yeah. But that is a good thing to bring up though, because for people who like, you know, that life gets busy and mm-hmm. we stop doing things we were doing regularly. You know, life is just a giant wave of shit coming in and out. And just
ew. Because...
it's true though. And I don't think just because you're not like, I don't think you have to not call yourself a witch just because you're not actively practicing, you know? That's just my personal opinion.
I agree. Next question. What is your favorite tea if both of you have one? I love Tazo, not sure how to say it. It's at Target. The glazed lemon loaf. That is the best fucking tea. I love it so much.
Just lemon loaf is a very funny pairing of words to me, and I don't know why.
Lemon loaf.
It just makes me giggle hearing lemon loaf.
Lemon loaf. Oh, another one that's really good. Yogi has a sweet tangerine. It's called Positivity, like TEA, Positivity. That one's really good. And I normally don't really like Yogi tea, to be honest. A lot of them I think are just too herbally like tasting. But that one's really good. And yeah, those are my two favorites.
I don't have a favorite brand per se. I normally get whichever tea is the cheapest or on sale and I just pick it up. So I don't have like a preferred brand, but I love mint tea. Brooke got me hooked on that. It's her fault. Ooh. Actually, it's her grandma's fault.
It is my grandma's fault.
And I love chai, specifically vanilla chai. And I love lemon green tea or pomegranate green tea. I love that one too. And I also have really enjoyed going to one of my local apothecaries. I'm very lucky to live around many locally owned apothecaries to have my like pick of the litter. but I really like going to these apothecaries and just like trying out their house blend. And I've had a really fun time trying out new teas and feeling all cute and witchy going to the local apothecary with my bag and coming out with a million other things I didn't go in there for. so yeah, those are my favorites, and I've just been enjoying trying new things.
When I go to when I go to an apothecary, why do I feel like I'm going to like a witchy fucking farmer's market? And I'm like, oh, like so wholesome.
I will definitely be building my own like baby apothecary in my next apartment. Like I want a shelf with like mason jars, you know, and I want to fill them up with things that I like to use from my local apothecary and all my herbs and shit. And that brings me a lot of joy. And I am in the process of DIYing that because I think I can make everything.
You can make almost everything.
I can make anything. Like I almost considered making my own couch. Okay. And then I realized,
Elizabeth.
No, I really was.
What?
I really was looking into making my own couch.
You're insane. When?
This past summer. I was going to make my own couch.
With pallets?
No, I was going to fucking cut wood.
You're nuts. Buy a couch, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I figured that one after a while. I was like, that one, actually, I probably don't want to put the amount of effort into it. But I figured out how to do it. It really wasn't going to be that bad. So yeah, I want to build my own little like baby apothecary. I believe that wraps up our questions. Thank you to everyone who submitted a question. And I know we only posted this poll question thing on our Instagram story, like not that long ago. So if you didn't have the chance to respond, don't worry. We'll be posting plenty more questions for you to participate in. So just keep your eye out on the Instagram and the story. If you haven't followed us yet, go check us out at the Witchful Thinking Podcast. And we always announce our exciting things over there. When we hit milestones, we post pictures of you guys on our story. When you send us photos of you wearing the merch, and you know, if you have a small business, we've done some partnerships with small businesses this past year, and that was really fun. And we love to show support to you guys and promote your small businesses. So connect with us if you'd like.
Yeah, exactly. Go on there and search around and you'll find us and you'll find merch. You'll find lots of fun things.
Yeah.
Go follow Liz's art studio, her art Instagram. Go follow my embroidery Instagram. I'm actually posting on the story right now what Brooke worked on during this episode.
Love it. I think the listeners can't see this, but you can see it if you go follow Brooke's embroidery Instagram, which is linked. Mm-hmm. The girl has like a ponytail and it's, you know, it looks like a straight ponytail, but if that was a curly ponytail, like that literally looks like you and Jackson. I feel like the male figure has a very similar haircut and facial structure to Jackson.
You know, I was thinking the same thing and I was like, he really likes this one. I was like, should I just give it to him? But then I was like, it's a straight ponytail.
Maybe you'll have to make another one with curly hair.
Maybe, possibly. That one was really fun though. It was really quick. It wasn't even half done with her hair before when we first started.
Yeah. So yeah, I believe that wraps up today's episode. Thanks for sticking around. And of course, now that we're at the end, we have to pick an Ostara egg, which, let's see here. Oh, wait. Okay, seriously though, I really like the name Manifestation Constipation, so maybe we should do the poop emoji for this one.
I was thinking the same thing.
Okay, good. So, go fill up the comments with shit, all right? head over there, fill up our comments with the poop emoji. Yep. And tell us how you like this episode. Spill your shit if you want to. Who fucking cares?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Go poop. Go little poops.
Go little poops. Go little poops. All right, we're done. Go
little poops.
We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.